Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Music is pretty powerful, isn't it? Have you ever had one of those days when you're feeling kind of grumpy or in a bad mood and you think that you need to find some music that fits the mood? If you go to Google Play, it's one of the newer apps out there, you can actually look and find playlists for the type of music that fits your mood. And maybe you remember back in the day when records were still a thing, you put on a record with maybe Elvis, Blue Christmas or something that fit the mood that you were in. There are times when we're not in the best of moods, and that can even happen on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. And there are various reasons that we could give for being grumpy at times, and maybe we feel like we need a melancholy music soundtrack going on in the background as we look at some of the stuff in our world and in our lives. We could, if we really wanted to be grumpy, could start making a list of things to be ungrateful for. We could think about some of the struggles that we're dealing with in our own life. Maybe there's some health problems. Maybe your family is dealing with some health issues. And these are serious and scary things at times. When the tests start coming in with the results that are not so positive, or when you hear that C word, cancer. So you might think, oh boy, I'm feeling rather melancholy. Whatever your political stance might be, at this time in our country, there might be some uncertainty as to what's going to happen. And that can also be a cause for some stress and some worry. And maybe even now, as we're gathered here, and it's so good to see all of you, there might be some family things going on, where maybe some families aren't getting together like you would have hoped on this wonderful Thanksgiving Day. So we could start listing a whole bunch of things for us to then have our melancholy music in the background. But I would suggest that today we look at a different tune. As some of you know, for the past number of years since I've been here, the tradition for me on Thanksgiving is to look at a hymn and talk about the words of the hymn. And today's hymn is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, a different tune. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing was written in the mid-1700s by a man named Robert Robinson. Robert Robinson. Now, Robert Robinson had a number of reasons for him to be melancholy. At 8 years old, Robert Robinson's father passed away, and he had a bit of a troubled childhood. He grew up and fell into the wrong crowd, and pretty soon he found himself on a path that was leading to destruction. And as a teenager, he was a hooligan. And there was one time when he was with his buddies, hooligan buddies, at about 17 years of age. And he thought that it would be fun to go heckle one of the evangelists that was out in the streets having a revival. This was in the UK, and this evangelist was a man by the name of George Whitfield. So they were going to go heckle George Whitfield and make fun of him, but at that meeting, he heard a message that really hit him. And George Whitfield was not mincing words, and he was preaching on Matthew 3 about, "You brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the coming wrath?" Oh, quite a sermon. Well, it hit Robert Robinson, and he was convicted. And after a while, the Holy Spirit was working in his heart and his life, and eventually Robert Robinson became a pastor. This young hooligan became a servant of the Lord, sharing the message of the gospel. And it was during Robert Robinson's time as a pastor that he wrote this hymn that we have, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. So I want to look at the words today. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove. As you hear that hymn, do you have any images that come to your mind, any pictures? Right off the bat, that first phrase, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I could picture a fountain that's just pouring forth water. Those of you that are in the Independence area know about the fountain that's there at the park in Independence, and it's bubbling out water, and it's so joyful and wondrous. And Robert Robinson speaks of God as this source of blessings that he pours out upon his people. Come, thou fount of every blessing. God has blessed you and me tremendously. Yes, we can make a whole list of things why we could be grumpy and melancholy, but then we look and see all the blessings which God has given to us, and as we start writing those things down, the list gets longer and longer and longer and longer. We have clothing to wear. We have a house. God willing, we're going to have food this afternoon. And the list could go on and on. But what are some other blessings that you can think of? You're welcome to speak.
We have Yusuf. We have Yusuf. We have this gentleman.
Thank you. Indeed, we could go on if we could spend 15 minutes talking about the blessings that we have from the Lord. And God is the source of these blessings. But look at what it is said. It says, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. As a musician, I love those words. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. What we are seeing is a response to God's gracious goodness. It all comes from him to us, and then comes forth the praise, spontaneous. And I can picture a guitar or some other instrument being tuned and made ready to make a beautiful melody that speaks of the blessings which God has given. This is God at work in your life, in my life. Speaking of the blessings that God gives, it says in the Catechism, He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve, and obey. Karen read for us from the gospel, or I read from the gospel lesson, about the lepers. We know that story about the lepers. The leper that came back was showing forth loud praise spontaneously. I don't ever remember seeing in that parable where Jesus says, okay, now after you are healed, you must come back and thank me. I never saw that. But out of gratitude for what God had done in his life, for the healing, he comes back and he pours forth praise. And as we think of the healing which God has given to us in Christ Jesus, our Savior, who has taken our sins and cleansed us from all sin and all unrighteousness, then from our hearts pours forth praise as God has tuned our hearts and prepared us to receive his blessings. So stanza 2. This is an interesting one. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. As people sing this second verse, I wonder how many of us are going, what in the world's an Ebenezer? I think of Ebenezer Scrooge from the Christmas Carol, but that's not the Ebenezer that this is referring to. Ebenezer, this comes from a passage in 1 Samuel chapter 7. The Israelites are being attacked by the Philistines. It's not looking good. But Samuel, who is the leader at the time, he's a prophet, a judge, and a priest in some cases, and so Samuel, he focuses their attention not on the power of the Philistines, but on the power of the Lord. And then they watch as the Lord comes in and defeats the Philistines, and the Israelites are saved. And so, after this, Samuel raises up a stone. Okay, this is from 1 Samuel 7 again. A stone. And the word Ebenezer means this. This is the stone that was raised, and they named it Ebenezer. Thus far has the Lord helped us. Speaking about the help that God has given, and this is a remembrance. And what a neat thing for the people of Israel to see. You know, sometimes we forget about the amazing blessings which God pours forth, but there are reminders along the way that we have pointing us back to God and what he has done. Maybe you can think about a time in your life where God has brought you through a very difficult situation. And maybe you wrote in a journal a little note about what God had done in your life. Or maybe it's a card from somebody that came at just the right time. Maybe you have something that you can look back on and see God is faithful. For us, we have something far more than just a remembrance. Today, we had a baptism for Xavier and Jordan, for God claiming them as his child. And there will be times in Xavier and Jordan's life when they may feel that they're not loved. Their feelings may tell them one thing when the truth is another. But they can look back on the promises of God, that they are baptized children of God, and this points them back to the cross of Jesus Christ. And for us, our Ebenezer is the cross and the empty tomb. When we're ever doubting God's love, when you're ever doubting God's provision for you, look back to the cross and the empty tomb and know for sure that God has rescued you and saved you. Let's look at the third stanza. Oh, to grace, how great the debtor. Daily I am constrained to thee. Let that grace now, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Robert Robinson was prone to wander. All throughout his life, as a young man, obviously I told you he was a hooligan, God grabbed a hold of him, but later in his life, according to what I was reading, he began to fall away from the faith. He sort of was straying. Maybe you've felt that before. Maybe you've had a loved one, and you know that they're not where they should be, and you're concerned about them. Robert Robinson was prone to stray. And there's a story that's told, and it's not completely verifiable, but it's possible. Robert Robinson, one day, when he had strayed, was riding in a stagecoach, and he was there riding with this woman who was going off to some particular location. And the two of them were riding, and you know, when you're in a stagecoach, you got time to talk. And this woman, apparently, for whatever reason, began quoting from this hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, not knowing that the guy sitting across from her was the man who wrote the words. So she starts talking joyously about this wonderful hymn, and Robert, who's in a melancholy mood at the time, replied, Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feelings I had then. And the woman replies, Sir, the streams of mercy are still flowing. The streams of mercy are still flowing. It's a reminder for us when those times come in our life when we've strayed, or when we have loved ones who have strayed, we can remember this, that the streams of God's mercy do not stop flowing. So we continue to pray for our loved ones who have strayed, trusting them into God's gracious hand, trusting his promises. And for us, coming back to the cross and the empty tomb, knowing that you are forgiven. Whatever the devil whispers in your ear, you are forgiven in Christ Jesus, and your Savior is risen, meaning he's more powerful than your sin, more powerful than that old devil, and more powerful than death itself. The fourth verse says this, Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed then in the blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy wondrous grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angel soon to carry me to realms of endless day. We also give thanksgiving this day because we have hope in a future. We have hope. We look forward to that life eternal when there will no longer be this list of things to be melancholy about. No more political issues. no more family issues. Fill in the blank with whatever's going through your mind right now. No more of that. It says in Revelation, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more suffering. Do you like food? I like food. And we have a banquet to look forward to. We're going to have some great food today, God willing, and it's going to be marvelous. I mean, some of you are just amazing cooks. But you know what? We're looking forward to a celebration, a feast in celebration of the risen Savior, which will be like none other. With perfect harmony, all together as brothers and sisters in Christ, gathered together for a very special occasion. And that's what we look forward to. So as you have your Thanksgiving meal today, remember that. And also remember all the amazing blessings that flow from the fount, which is God. And remember His love for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep.